to ask you this morning that you will come and deliver us from just receiving information. Father, I ask you this morning, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, that you will, out of information from your word, bring revelation. And that, Lord, out of revelation will come transformation. We ask that, Lord, because we believe your word is life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can you all see me? Yeah? It's good. Well, I don't know all your faces, so if you're visiting, it's lovely to see you. If you're here because I've not been here for a while and you have, forgive me. I've not been playing golf. All right, but last time I was here with you, I began to share something that I said to you is very precious in my life, and it's the whole subject of the glory of God. Let me pull my trousers up while I can. All right, there you go. Get comfortable. The subject of the glory of God, and I don't want to go over all that ground that I spoke last time, except to say that the promise of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14 is this, that the prophet says, the day will come when all the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So there we see something of God's purpose. There shouldn't be ever a Christian who has not experienced something of the glory of God. Because without that, it is simply religion. And religion has no power, no transformation, no ability to do in you what God wants to do. Yeah? So, we looked and we saw, I think, is this the second or the third? I'm not quite sure. This is the second, all right, yeah. But I think I shared with you last time about the fact that God's glory is something that we lost when Adam sinned. See, we fall short of the glory of God. That's what happened. What Paul says in Romans 3:20, if it all sinned, when Adam sinned, he was in the place of God's glory. God actually prepared the garden for him. It was the environment for man. Remember I said that? The fish for the sea, the birds for the air, animals for the land. But the Garden of Eden, God prepared and he placed him in there so that he could enjoy the glory and presence of God. But when he sinned and rebelled, just as every one of us has, what happens is we fall short of the glory. There's no glory without God in our lives. And so, praise God, we looked very briefly and we saw that in actual fact, the whole thing about this word kabod, this heavy God, this heavyweight of God, is that he now comes as he came in the Old Testament, and whenever he came with that heaviness, which we saw was displacement, when God comes, he displaces that which is not of God and replaces it with himself. So when one man's disobedience meant that he lost the glory of God, Paul says in Romans 2 was that one man's obedience brought that glory back. And in John 17, I showed you that scripture in Jesus' high priestly prayer where he says, Father, I have given them your glory. So a believer in Jesus Christ is meant to continually experience the glory of God. And so throughout the church age, when the church has gone away, like it did in the Middle Ages, when everything was down to religion and all that kind of stuff that just made God somebody who had to be approached through priests or through all different kinds of activities. And they made it to be a money-making racket. And they made it to be a power racket. But what they lost was the glory of God. And that wasn't the first time we see that in church history. But every time there's been a revival, what has happened is somebody has got desperate for the glory of God again. Whatever's in them has not been enough. They have wanted more. And so the picture that's there in the Old Testament and mirrored quite clearly in the New Testament as well in the church age, that the glory of the Lord was taken. It was symbolized in what was called the Ark of the Covenant, which the Jews carried. But the Philistines took it away and defeated Israel. And the priest at the time, Eli, who had forgotten that it was all about the glory of God, forgotten that it was all about a relationship on God's terms, heard the news that the ark had been taken and his daughter-in-law was giving birth to a baby, and she said, "Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed." Over the temple in the time of Ezekiel, he had the same revelation. The sin that was there in the temple, God took a man and said, "Follow me, Ezekiel," and showed him. And he said, "Look what's happening as a result of that." And the glory began to lift from the temple, went over to a mountain, and then left. Yeah? So listen, by the time of Jesus, they've got all the paraphernalia still going on, all the sacrificial stuff still happening, but there was no glory. Glory came again in Luke chapter 2 to some shepherds on the hillside. And the glory began to shine all around again. Why is this important, friends? Because I honestly believe today, for the church to be the church that God intends for this last day period before Jesus comes back. You know, I'm just going on a little tangent here. At the ladies' meeting at Swaffham on Wednesday night, they just got into discussion about the second coming of the Lord, and there was quite a number of new believers there. And one of these ladies, Kimberly, whose husband is a backslider and got baptized, just come back to God last week, but she went home from the ladies' meeting and she said to him, they're getting undressed to go to bed, she said, "Did you know Jesus is coming back?" As well, actually, I did. "You never told me about that." Yeah? So, this is her husband telling me this on Thursday night. He said, so we spent the next hour talking about God's judgments, the second coming of Jesus, what I could remember, and because I've been backslidden and only just got right with God and baptized, he said, I didn't know a lot myself. But isn't it wonderful that actually, one of the words that we use, which I'm going to mention this morning, for the coming of Jesus is the parousia. But the word parousia is the same word as the word Shekinah. It means where God comes to rest. And so we looked at this word kabod, said there's four words. The kabod, where God's glory comes and it displaces everything. And I told you about the Welsh Revival and Brother Thomas when he stood there shaking in his 80s as he recalled the presence of God that came in the meetings. And although it was 60 years on and I was only a teenager when I heard him, he couldn't stop crying and shaking because there was still something of the glory. Let me tell you, friends, Christians are supposed to experience that. I'm going to say it again, just in case anybody missed it. Christians are supposed to be experiencing that. The problem we have today, friends, is that the teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, God showed me this very clearly. He said so much in the church today takes the new covenant and the work of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, but sometimes we've forgotten that the presence of God is meant to transform us. It's meant to change you. It's meant to convict you of sin. It's meant to want to give you a hunger for God's holiness. So if there's not been any displacement in the church for a while, or any displacement in your life, it's because you've not encountered God. And the problem is, just like we find in the Old Testament, people thought what they were doing was okay. But it was falling short of the glory of God. And now we somehow think that the baptism in the Holy Spirit locks us into a permanent place of fullness where we never need to encounter God anymore. It's a lie. It's a lie. In fact, in the Acts of the Apostles, not only were they filled in Acts 2, but they were filled in Acts 4. And they continued to be filled, yeah? Until Paul says in Ephesians 5, be being filled. Keep on encountering God. And when the church doesn't have that, something actually is lost in the awesomeness and the power that Daryl was reading about this morning. The good news is that God wants us to experience his kabod, and he wants us to experience his Shekinah. Okay, Paul. Well, what's the difference? Well, I've told you what the kabod is. God displaces. See, when God's love comes in, you realize you've never experienced love like it. When God's holiness comes in, you suddenly become aware of your own sinfulness as you never, ever have before. So Isaiah, in chapter 6, is there, and he sees this vision. I saw the Lord. That's an encounter. High and lifting up and whatever. What did he say? Let's write a new song about it. No, he said, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. You see, when you encounter God and he displaces something, what you begin to see is how unworthy you are to stand and to be in God's presence. Yeah? Like somebody once said to me, you know, like, I know they were just joking. See, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a word with God. I'm going to tell him, I tell you what, when you get to heaven, you're just going to go boom. Right? Because when we encounter God's glory, you will be changed. No change, no glory. So this is so important today. Because when we're looking for more and more encounters of the kabod, yeah? Of the character of God in his love and his power and his holiness to impact people's lives. Don't you just love it when that happens? I was going to tell you later, but you know, last week, John was baptized at Swaffham. On Thursday night, he said to us, gave my life to Jesus and I haven't touched a drug for 10 weeks. And as he's saying it, the glory of God's touching it. Right? He said, you know what? Tear running down. He said, you know what? He said, my bosses have called me and saying, what's different about you? See, the glory makes people different. Makes people different. Changes them. It's because Jesus says, I've given them my glory. Yeah, your glory. I've given it to them. So really what I want to head this morning in the time I've got is to get you to understand then, not only this kabod, this glory that comes and transforms us, but to understand that it's God's plan. Even though the word Shekinah is not a biblical word, it is a word that was put together by the Hebrew language from the word Shekan, which actually means to come to rest. For God to come to rest. And although the word is not in the Bible in that way, Shekinah, the Jews saw that it actually explained so much of what happened in their Old Testament history. That it was when God came to rest on somebody. This is why we've got to be a little bit careful. Because sometimes today we talk about the Holy Spirit as though he's somebody different from the Shekinah. He's the same person. But sometimes in the New Testament, we've got this God who wants us to speak in tongues, dance and be happy and use gifts of the Spirit, which I'm not against at all. But what happens if that does not transform us and actually bring us into a closer, intimate, more intimate walk with God? There's something gonna miss. So I want to talk to you this morning. Where's the glory in your life? I want to encourage you to know you can get some. Amen? Anybody want any glory in their life? Hallelujah. I believe we're to be experiencing the glory of God. And as we encounter the presence of God, I will be transformed, changed, ignited by spiritual passion. Remember that song? I never liked it in a worship context, this song, but I thought there was a place for it. There must be more than this. Remember that song? Spirit of God. I want to tell you this morning, there is. There is. There is. There is so much more. And God wants you to know this morning that if you will believe that when he saved you, he gave you a measure of faith. And when he filled you with the Holy Spirit, he gave you a measure of the anointing. That when you begin to let your faith and the anointing that's in you rise up and believe God, God will begin to rest on you and you will begin to experience the glory and encounters with God. God never intended us to live outside of his presence. So how did he do that? Well, let me give you a bit of Old Testament. Shekinah glory, where he rests. Yeah, that simply means where God sits. Where he sits. Where he comes to dwell. So it was in the pillar of cloud by day and night. That's when Israel first experienced it. And it rested. And when it rested, then all of who he is began to be manifest amongst them. Supernaturally. And that's when this word began. So throughout the writings of the rabbis of the Old Testament, the Talmud, this transliteration of this word, the Shekinah. So much so, friends, that can I tell you that Jews actually believed, I don't know whether they all do now, but they certainly did in history, they believed because marriage was of God, and if two people believed in Jehovah, when they got married, the Shekinah came. When somebody went to visit a sick person, to bring comfort and love. Right? Read it in Jewish writings. It says, then the Shekinah rests with you. Praise God. I'm not the best hospital visitor. But I'll tell you what, there's only a few times in my life I've realized that God wants me to take more than grapes with me. When me and my wife went to pray for a lady who got tubes coming out of her, she was naked from waist upwards. 24 hours to live. She's in A&E, and we go in there late at night, and she said, no, she's going to die. Her husband called me and said, please, 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 go and pray. What can we do? What can we do? So we just drives to Norwich. And we speak in tongues. And we say, well, Lord, I believe that you can come and rest on this woman. Amen. And we just prayed over her. The nurses thought we were nuts. See, when you get into those things, what you believe is what you believe. So you're not really worried. Like Daryl said earlier about the guy he prayed for. Yeah? Don't really matter, because we want God to begin to rest on people. Show people who he is. Manifest his power. And praise God, we prayed for this lady. Loud speaking in tongues just over her. Lord, touch her. Pray. Touch her. You know, nurse kept looking at us, and we said, okay, we're finished now. Praise God. Next morning, her husband rings me 8:15. My wife sat up in bed eating her breakfast. She lived for 5 more years, saw her grandchildren born. What was that? Was that me? No. God comes to rest. God's rest, God's presence begins to rest on a person. And you see, friends, the Jews believed that when he went to visit somebody who was sick, the Shekinah went with you. It's amazing when you look at this stuff from Jewish history. Right? Do you know also they believed that actually whenever you had a prayer meeting, and it's where we got the New Testament thing where 2 and 3 gather. But even before Jesus had declared that, right, in the Old Covenant, and in the Jews of the period of the synagogues and whatever, they believed that if 12 people got together to pray, the Shekinah was there. Amazing. This imminent, this close. In fact, the literal expression of it is this: God comes to the neighborhood. That's what it means. This great big awesome God who's transcendent and above everything. Whoa, he's here. That's what it means. Jesus did that quite a few times, didn't he? Because when that glory came around at Bethlehem, there was no glory in the built tabernacle or temple anymore. Because God's glory was in him. Yeah? The glory was in him. Till that tremendous, well, if you want to look further into that, look at Colossians 2:9. Shows you the manifestation of God's glory in Jesus. Until we see him in the transfiguration, when he goes up the mountain, you know, and there they are. Peter, James, and John, and just up the mountain, we're going to have a wonderful prayer time. Yeah? Always excites me that. Because I never know what God's going to reveal of his glory when 2 or 3 people gather together. And what happens is, it says Jesus was transfigured. The Greek word is metamorphosed. It means that he was transformed and he was changed into something else. The flesh that was covering him burst open, not to reveal organs of his body, but because filling him was the glory of God. Why do that? We know he certainly wasn't showing off. Why did he show it to his disciples? Because that same glory is the glory that God has given us. Now, it was veiled, but when we look in the book of Revelation, what we see again is Jesus with all his glory back. And he's not going to take it off anymore. All his glory is there. Could say more, I'll move on. But he sent his Holy Spirit so that the Shekinah, the presence, the resting of God can be upon us. So let me ask this question. Why is this truth of Shekinah so important for us today, Paul? I'll tell you why. Please hear this. There's a difference between an encounter with God and the dwelling of God. And the church and an individual has to choose. Do I just want to encounter God occasionally and then go back to my ordinary lifestyle? Or do I want an encounter with God that moves me into Him dwelling and resting on my life so that I get more and more encounters? See, I won't embarrass people, but I want to ask you this morning, when did you last have an encounter with God? Don't care what your age is. Don't care how long, how young, doesn't matter. But we need to know that God is somebody who wants to meet with you. And as we saw a few weeks ago when I spoke about the heart, He says He wants to come in and fellowship with you into your life. So it's the difference between an encounter and a dwelling. I believe today lots of people go to meetings, get prayer, I want an encounter. There's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what, God does not just want you to feel Him one day out of 50. He wants you to know His Shekinah resting on you. Resting on you wherever you are. So that encounters can increase. And I want to say to you, may not get through all this, don't worry. I want to say to you this morning, there are different levels of His presence possible. Did you know that? Different levels. So it's good because, you know, when people want to find out something about themselves. Did you see that thing this week where everybody was able to find out by doing a little app how long their heart was going to last? I bet millions of people did it. Yeah? Be honest with you, I think it's a lot of garbage anyway. I bet millions of people did it. But what if this morning you could grab hold of the fact that there are levels in which you can actually stay at or increase at of God's presence on your life? Would you want it? Think about it. Because some of the advice I'm going to give you now will mean there's something very important we've got to do. Turn with me first and foremost to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I don't know whether you've ever seen this scripture, but it's such an important scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. I'll be interested to find out what other versions say about this verse. But this is God speaking. Remember, we've just gone through the Ichabod, and then God starts to raise up Samuel to be a prophet, and He speaks to Samuel about what's going to happen to the house of Eli, and it's judgment. And in God speaking to him, okay, anybody got the NIV? Yeah? Anybody got a Bible? What you got now? ESV. Read verse 30 then, Darrell, would you? Chapter 2.
Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me lightly esteemed.
What on earth does lightly esteemed mean? Don't seem to fit, does it? That's because it's not really meant to. It's a bad translation. Because here's what it actually means. It means those who don't listen when I'm speaking. Those who know what to do but don't do it. My Shekinah will lift from them. Surely not, Paul. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, are you? I want to say today, friends, from my where I go ministering, I find the vast majority of people, sometimes their experience of the Holy Spirit is limited to 2 hours on a Sunday morning, and if they go to a meeting midweek. But I want to tell you, I believe the vast majority of believers need to understand that for God's glory to increase on your life, you've got to see that things that you are doing in your life that He's not pleased with need to be faced up to, because if you don't, you will be lightly esteemed. Things will lift. God's Shekinah will lift. Say, no, show me that in the New Testament, Paul. Show me that in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the whole chapter's about? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. We Pentecostal background, we always put that verse into, well, you know, when we're in a meeting, don't say something out of turn, as though we'd grieve the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that at all. Ephesians 4's all about your behavior. Your behavior can grieve the Holy Spirit. Read what it says there. There's a list as long as your arm. One of them is anger, wrath, all kinds of stuff, gossip, backbiting. What do you mean that grieves the Holy Spirit? I have to say, friends, the measure and the level that we see in the Church of Jesus Christ today is simply this, that for the vast majority of us, who have accepted something less, we're only seeing God lightly on us. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you about that now, because you're hungry for God. You'll have to face this issue. You'll have to face forgiveness. You'll have to face putting things right. You'll have to face bad language. You'll have to deal with pornography. You'll have to deal with how you are at work. You'll have to deal with, you can't run with the hare and the hounds. You'll have to deal with it if you do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. See, that's what it means here. So, wow. What's wrong, God? What was wrong with Eli and his sons? His sons were doing immoral things at the doors of the temple. Eli had forgot to bring up his children correctly. Rebuke them, bring God's law. He got old and fed up with it, and oh, I've done it before. Yeah. Look at the people, they're nowhere with God. God said, you're my priest. You're supposed to interpret scripture. You're supposed to speak to the people. You're supposed to be holy in your life and a model and example. Leaders, listen up. Because you're not, my spirit will be lightly esteemed. I want to tell you, friends, God's not always impressed by you speaking in tongues. You know why? Because it's a gift He gave you when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Yeah? I've known people who told me they were backslidden and could still speak in tongues. How's that? Because it's the gift, the ability to speak in tongues, but they had no anointing. A friend of mine, he said, for the first time, that I wanted to speak in tongues. I was backslidden for 2 years away from God, and I came and I met him and brought him to the altar and began to pray for him, and he began to repent of his lifestyle and all that he did, and suddenly he began to speak in tongues, and he said, the glory's back. Thank God he's still an elder in a church today, 40 years later. Now, friends, David says this, Psalm 51, Lord, I've sinned and I'm repenting, truly I'm repenting. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Friends, can I tell you, there's still conditions to meet in the New Testament. You know the other one in 1 Thessalonians 5, we often quote, and quench not the Spirit. You know, you've been to some real meeting where it's been a hymn prayer sandwich and you've got diddly squit out of it. You know what I mean? And you've sat there bored as anything, right? It's, oh, they quench the Spirit. Quench the Spirit. Doesn't mean that. It means anything that God says to you and has told you to do and you're choosing not to do, you're putting out the Spirit's fire. Whoa! Yeah? Me and my wife know that the breakthroughs that we are believing for at this point in time, We cannot afford to have nastiness and argument. If we do, there's got to be forgiveness very quickly. Yeah? As I think I said to you last time I spoke, because we want the dove to remain. We want the dove to remain. So we won't watch things in the house that's filth. We won't have stuff on telly because our house is holy. Yeah? Because just like the Jews who said, hey, if you love your wife and you're faithful to her for 43 years, let me tell you, God's pleased. And it's a possibility that even out of that, God's blessing can come on your marriage and you'll experience Shekinah. Yeah? You better get it sorted out with your wife. Get it sorted out with your husband. Yeah? And if you can't, well, you need to ask what you're going to do. Because God wants to rest on your life. God wants to move in your life. Eli trembled, but it was too late. He fell back and broke his neck and died. The glory departed. Friends, I want to say, the neglect of holiness and spiritual life, we can know the language, but we no longer have the lifestyle. Can you give me 5 more minutes? Is it 5:15 we finished, Darren? 5 more minutes. If this sounds all a bit negative and it's not the message you want to hear, well, I'm very sorry, but I want the glory of God. And some of you told me you did. See, in Exodus 29, verse 43, it says that the tabernacle, when God came to the temple or the tabernacle, the temple or the tabernacle was sanctified. What by? My glory. You see, if you can live not being filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, you will not be being made clean. Oh, come on. There is something of the holiness of God that when you encounter God, because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, live in the Holy Spirit, the resting Shekinah of God upon you. It says there in Ezekiel 22, the temple will be sanctified by my glory. When God fills your life, sanctification takes place. He separates you. Yeah? He puts demands upon your time. And what you give yourself to. It makes you watch what comes out of your mouth. Because this now is the temple. Yeah? This is the temple. I love that, do you, when Peter was in the boat with Jesus. You know? And Jesus says, cast your net on the other side, and he does, and the boat's filled with fish. And Peter stands there. And instead of saying, wow, look at all the fish, he says, depart from me, Lord. See, suddenly, into that man who was very impatient, you know, all the words you didn't think about Peter. But when he saw Jesus as glory, yeah, he felt his uncleanness. Oh, God, standing next to you, please make me clean. Yeah. Is repentance something that's regular in your life? Do you ever think about it? See, because when God fills us, when the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah of God, begins to move on our life and rest on our life because we're hungering for God, what happens is, oh God, I'm unclean. It's okay, I'm going to sanctify the temple with my glory. See, the blood of Christ was shed for me on Calvary. And it's always applicable to me. But it's the Holy Spirit who was at Calvary who enables your temple to be filled and to know that you're clean. when you find out the holiness of God, you don't know what to say. Lady last Sunday getting baptized, got out of the pool and God just touched her. She came to me, she says, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. What's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with you. It's just that God's in you. See, the most stiff upper lipped British person can become a blubbering heap when the Holy Spirit starts to move upon them. Yeah? How's your heart this morning? Let me say this. When you encounter God, it brings a humbling. Yeah? Sometimes you get this view today, you watch something on God Channel or whatever, and it's like, I'm the man. You know, full of faith and power, or paste and flour, whichever you prefer. Yeah, I'm the man. I tell you, when you encounter God, you realize you've got absolutely nothing. Yeah? And when he begins to deal with things in your life, rather than bring judgment on you, he gives power to break what you've become, not only what you've done. Did you get that? Real encounter with God breaks what you've become, not just what you've done. So you can be somebody else. You can be changed. Wow. Oh, time's gone. Well, the next 2 points are a way forward and a way of increase. But you'll have to wait for that, won't you? Let me just end by saying this. Jesus says, you can't live this life without my glory. You can't live this life without my Shekinah. Without I come to rest on you. And who he is begins to be absorbed into you. Yes, the word comes. Yes, we need fellowship or whatever. But I want to tell you, friends, there's people gone to church for years and haven't encountered God. I want to ask you something this morning. Seriously now. When did you last encounter God? When did you last become so full of a sense of, oh God, depart from me? I'm a sinful person. Lord, I humble myself. When did you last repent of things that's going on in your life? One scripture that hit me just recently was this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if you love those things, well listen, the love of the Father is not in you. Uh-huh. I believe the word, Paul. I believe scripture. Yes, of course, I believe the word of God. So what do you love the most? Yeah. Where's your love? Because when God brings an encounter to your life, one of the things he does is fills you with love. The love of God begins to pound in your life and a passion to know more and more of that love. When did that last happen to you? Yeah? When did that last happen to you? Because the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3 tells us we are to be metamorphosed, changed, transformed from glory to glory. King's Lynn needs to see a people filled with the glory of God. You know, Leon at Swaffham, at Radical rather, he was at Swaffham last week baptizing two gypsies. And I just thought, my God, how wonderful it is when God's glory starts to come. It's starting to come here too, you know. I hope you realize that. It's starting to come. When we actually You're going to see that. But last week, I was just watching Leroy. At the end of the meeting, one of the Allison's mum had come to watch her daughter get baptized. Oh, boy. When she came in the door, I could feel the resistance. Yeah? Hi, how you doing? Nice to see you. I'm all right. Nice lady, but just spiritual things. Ooh. And she's not a Christian. And I've met Christians like that. Anyway, the end of the meeting, she sees Alison get baptized. Here's her telling how God's brought her off drugs. Still didn't seem to be anything touched her. And I didn't even notice that she'd come in with crutches. I said, Andrew, did you notice? No. But you know, Leon saw it. And he went straight over to her and says, the Lord wants to heal you this morning. What? Yeah, he said, when I saw the crutches, God said he wants to heal you. Can I pray for you? He just laid his hands on this woman. Power of God hit her. Dropped the crutches. John told me on Thursday night, she's not used the crutches. No pain, all gone. But you know what happened? Subsequent to that, she had to sit down because she was sobbing for 10 minutes. Because an encounter. God. How many people here this morning want to see somebody this week? Yeah? God, I'd like a bit of that glory, Lord, that rests on me. Please let us see the difference that happens when we start living and examining our lives to deal with things that keep God hovering at a distance and bring him close to settle and rest on us. Because what happens is personal encounters translate to divine manifestation. God begins to work through your life to touch others because he loves them. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, we're so glad that you want us to live in your glory. Holy Spirit, this morning, if you began to rest on people, some things will be good. Some people will be struggling with it. Some people will be wondering. Some people will be questioning. But I'm asking you today to so begin to impact and rest on their lives that there will be a transformation. That they'll begin to surrender. You'll begin to place a hunger in their lives for you. That, Lord, they will begin to want to humble themselves. They will begin to want to seek after your holiness. So that your glory can rest upon us. We ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Close the meeting. If anybody wants prayer or anything I've said this morning, we'll be only too pleased to pray for you down the front here. I missed a few bits out, but I'll start with one next time. It gets more and more exciting. Hallelujah. What God's going to do through us as we encounter his glory. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.